We're in the middle of a series called Happy Christmas Words, because there's all these words that kind of pop up at Christmas time that you see them, I don't know, decorated in the shops or in Rundle Mall or on your trees or on a Christmas card that you'll get. So we're looking at each of these words, and we've looked at joy, we've looked at hope last week, and we've looked at peace. In it, we're doing a little thing we like to call 6 minutes with Dr. Paul, which is just a little bit of fun. We like to put Paul on the spot and give him a time limit of 6 minutes, and he's got to unpack how Scripture shows that Jesus is our joy and is our hope. And he's not going to come up just yet, but that's going to be happening this morning. If this is your first time in church, really, we're just here because we love the idea of God changing our lives, and that we couldn't change it on our own, but when we surrender our life to Him, He brings something in our life that we could never do ourselves. But when we're together with others, man, that just creates something else and inspires and kind of lets it grow and grow and grow. So that's why we like being together. This moment is really just sharing some thoughts from God's Word about life, how we take hold of what He said and how we can live our life from that basis. So, you know, we're doing this around the idea of Happy Christmas Words. And has anyone seen nativity scenes this year already? Yep. Who's been to the shops? Who's braved the shops? Anyone done the brewery lights yet? No? Yes. Oh, Grace, the Carbonis have. Anyone been? Well, we went to Harndorf the other night. They got a Christmas festival on there. I know there was carols in the city. Anyone make it out to carols? Yeah, a few. There's carols on tonight too. Reason why I'm saying this is there's a whole heap of things that just kind of come into life around Christmas time. One of them is the Christmas story. No, I'm not talking about the Grinch or Shrek the Halls or The Night Before Christmas. I always tease my dad every year. I'm like, Dad, this year, will you read The Night Before Christmas to the whole family? And he just like hates that idea. And I don't really like the idea. I just like the idea of having fun with Dad. But anyway, Christmas story, let's think about it. Where is it? Where does it take place, this Christmas story? You're allowed to get involved. Where is it? Christmas story. I'll give you a clue. It's about Jesus. He was born. Anyone know where he was born? Yeah, he was born in Bethlehem. Good. Who are the main characters of the Christmas story? We got Mary. We got Jesus. There's another guy called Joseph. He was kind of hanging around at the time too. We got some other additional characters. Some of them were shepherds. Some of them were angels. Some of them were wise men. Well, I was kind of having a look at this Christmas story, which we kind of know as like history, don't we? We know it as a story. We know it's happened. But I was looking into it, even the place Bethlehem, like in the book of Micah, it says in Micah, which is like this prophetic book, which is about 750 years before Jesus even popped onto the earth, right? 750 years, it says this, "O Bethlehem, you're too little, but from you shall come one who will be a ruler." Right? So we know it as history, but 750 years even before Mary and Joseph took that journey to this little town of Bethlehem, this guy got this message from God saying, "Hey, Bethlehem, there's someone who's going to come from your town who's going to be ruler." All right, let's think about the main characters of Mary and Joseph. What's special about Mary? Yeah, she was virgin, right? You can't have a baby if you're a virgin. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. But 800 years before Jesus, Isaiah writes this, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call him Emmanuel." If you've read the Christmas story, these angels, an angel comes to Mary and says, "You're going to have a son and you're going to call him Emmanuel." So 800 years beforehand, this was already written down. Other guys in the Christmas story are wise men and shepherds about 970 years before this. So we're going back even further. Solomon writes his psalm and he writes, "May desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and the coastlands render him tribute." He's writing about these guys who would come and offer tribute, offer gifts. In Genesis, which is like it was written 1,400 years before Jesus. We're talking about a long time, right? It says the nations will bow down and give him tribute. Why am I telling you this? For us, The Christmas story is history, but it was once future, right? It was once this prophetic thing that's about to happen. But for us now, it's our history. Like, we are now living post-fulfillment. So all that stuff that was spoken about for so long has happened. But today, there's something else that's history. And it's the idea of what we're looking at today, peace. The arrival of peace isn't a future thing. The arrival of peace is history. It's already happened. So they were looking for this thing to happen, which we now know as a Christmas story, and we have like little decorations in our house about it. It was this thing that we're waiting for the Messiah to come. We now know that's history, and we don't need to wait for peace. The arrival of peace is also history. And if we think about it this way, history is about a previous occasion, right? But peace is actually about a presence that stays. So history is about something that once happened, but peace, even though it once came, it's actually about something that remains, a peace that can remain. So peace is a really, really big deal. And we're not just talking about the absence of war, right? We're not just talking about war is over, so now we have peace. We're not just talking about that feeling. We're not just talking about the friend that hangs out with and quiet. You know, peace and quiet. We're not just talking about stillness. We're not just talking about calm. We're not just talking about that. But peace is something that we all really notice when it's gone. Peace is something we all really notice when you don't have it. Peace is something we notice when we do have it. It's like you can breathe it in, like you can enjoy it. And if you reach forward in your seat pocket, Sam has rolled up some joints. No, he hasn't. No, just thought, you know, sometimes we look for things that would be a sense of peace. Like, oh man, I need this to bring me peace. But I want to tell you, there's nothing coming that can bring you peace. It's already arrived. You know, it's not a substance, or it's not a break from something, or it's not like, oh, just give me 5 minutes without the kids. You know, that is enjoyable, that is quiet, that could be calm, but peace isn't something that's still yet to come or something we can partake of. Peace has already arrived, right? In fact, our government knows about the absence of peace. Our health system knows about the absence of peace. What am I talking about? I'm talking about fear. I'm talking about anxiety. I'm talking about stress. There's so many millions of dollars that our government and healthcare is like handing out fistfuls of cash because the absence of peace is causing our bodies to be wrecked. Our workplace is now talking a lot about stress management. Why? Because peace has gone. But peace has already arrived. In fact, like, it's been linked that stress is wreaking havoc on our bodies. It's causing blood pressure issues. Irritable bowel syndrome is linked with it. Panic attacks, heart problems, heart disease can all be linked with this stress that's happening in our life when peace has actually already arrived. And our government knows that it's a big deal. Our world kind of talks about peace as this idea that maybe one day we could have, but I want to tell you, peace is already here. And today, to unpack it a little bit more from Scripture, our professor of prophetic writings, our sleuth of Scripture, hidden secrets, Dr. Paul, is going to come. He's got 6 minutes to unpack where peace is in Scripture, what God's Word tells us about peace, and the clock starts now.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Just want to go into your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. While you're going there, you know, there was a competition that was held some years back, and the competition was to paint a picture which depicts peace. And people would do their pictures where they would have a serene scene with a boat on a calm waters and all that. But the actual winner was someone painted a raging storm. And in the corner on the cliff was a bird sitting on a nest as if nothing was happening. That's peace. That's peace. And so if you have Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to pick it up from verse 13, actually. It's got Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, which is in modern-day Turkey today. He says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off. And when he talks about those who are once far off, he's talking about anyone who's not a Jew. Anyone who's not a Jew, we're far off, because the Jews had the promises. He says, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And listen to this, verse 14. For he, who, Christ himself, is our peace. Peace isn't something that happens. Peace is a person. It's Jesus Christ. For Christ is our peace, who has made us both one, that's Jew and Gentile, that's Jew and non-Jew, both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two. That's the church. That's the church. The one new man is the church. So making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We'll leave it there. You see that Jesus is our peace because he made peace. He preached peace. And as we see, the Bible is clear that all of us were once enemies with God. We were enemies. There was a hostility. But it says that in Romans 5, verse 10, it turns around and it says, for while we were enemies, we were brought back into friendship to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we have been brought back into friendship, we shall be saved by his life. You know, you get that? We're not saved by his death, we're saved by his life. That's why the cross without the resurrection is pointless, you see. So we're saved by his life. And so our text in Ephesians states there was hostility between us and God and between people. There was hostility. And so in Christ Jesus, not only are we brought back into friendship with God, we are also brought back into friendship with one another. That is, that's where peace comes from. You see, we're never saved to be isolated. We're saved in order to be brought into a family where we will have peace with one another. And if you look around at each of us here now, some of us we wouldn't hang around with if there wasn't the fact that Christ has come into our life and has changed us and he's brought us together in peace. It's interesting that the biblical word for peace, shalom in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, irene, actually has the idea of joining together. In other words, you can't have peace unless we're joined together. Joined together with what? Joined together with God and with one another. And therefore, we have peace. It says in Romans 5, 1 and 2, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the word peace means goodness, wholeness, all those things. That's what Jesus does when we have peace. He brings us into a new relationship with God where we are justified. Not a negative relationship, not a neutral relationship, but a positive relationship with God. Therefore, we can have peace knowing the fact that Jesus is our peace. And that's why it says about the new relationship. And I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but in Romans 8, it says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. If you're fearful, you don't have peace, right? But you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons. So we have become sons of God, a new relationship with God. I've written that time's going so quick today for 6 minutes. You see, so once we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through the cross, you've got to come through the cross to have peace with Jesus Christ, you can enjoy the peace of God. Now, what's the difference between peace with God and the peace of God? I'll tell you, the peace with God, once you're in Christ, once you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, does not change. It's permanent. Regardless of what's going on in your life, if you have come to Christ, there is a peace with God. But the peace of God is something that you and I can experience, but some of us don't experience that all the time. You see, peace with God is like a rock. The peace of God is like an ocean that washes over you. And how do you enjoy the peace of God as I close? You enjoy the peace of God by first of all rejoicing in the Lord, by being have an attitude towards others that is quite a gentle spirit, but very importantly, instead of being anxious for things going on in your life, you take them to God in prayer and you praise Him and you thank Him and you ask Him for things. And it says, and then the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, it's like a sentry on duty, but it only is an experience when we do the other things first, not if you hold on to your anxiety and your fear. God bless you.
Show Paul some love. Good job, Paul. It's great. So we're looking at, that's what Scripture tells us, that is Jesus. That's our basis. That's where we're reading from. That's where we're looking from. That's where we're living from. And I love how Paul described it as a rock that we can be on, but also it's like an ocean. And so it's like a state, but it's also an experience. Like Jesus is so many things. He's so much more than just a baby, isn't he? So much more than just a nativity scene. So much more than just an idea. He's so much more than a religious concept. Man, he is King. He is Lord. He is peace. So if we're taking that, we know that, you know, the Bible talks a lot about peace, but how do we get it from there into like here? And how do we get it from there into our workplace? And how do we get it from there into our life, really? Because I'm pretty sure I'm not alone in feeling like sometimes it's like, where's the peace gone? Or you feel a little bit unpeaceful or not at rest. Am I alone or is there others in the house? Yep. So how do we know this? But we're also in this place of like, it feels a little uncertain or it feels a little unrestful. Well, there's good news. And the good news is Paul shared us that peace is accessible to us. It's through Christ. It's a fact. It's also an experience and it's a person. It is Jesus. The Bible talks about him. Even in Isaiah, he's prophesied as the Prince of Peace. So he's like, is he prince of a kingdom called peace? Not necessarily, but he's the Prince of Peace. And if we think about it this way, like we know Prince Harry's off the market now, right? So he's married. Currently, he's off the market. We don't really know if that's going to last because, I don't know, it feels like a bit of a Hollywood wedding. But anyway, there's currently still five, I'm not like, you know, putting a hex on him or anything, but but there's still currently five eligible princes in the world today who aren't married. And that's good news for some of you because you're like, ooh, Prince Harry's out of the picture, but maybe I could get myself a prince still. What is the charm of a prince? You know, there's Prince Charming. What is it that makes a prince so charming? Is it him or is it what he has? If we're honest, it's not him, it's what he has. But Jesus is a little bit different because what he has is good, but it's actually he is peace, right? So every other prince, it's like, yeah, we want the prince because of what the prince has or what the prince opens us up to. But with Jesus, he is the Prince of Peace. Yes, what he opens us up to is great, but he is peace. So it's kind of like he's the whole package, right? So the idea of a prince that's charming is generally what they can bring to our life. But with Jesus, it is a bit different. So come with me to the book of Mark chapter 5. See, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, or he's the Prince of Heaven, or he's our blessed assurance, or he's our rock, or he's our right standing, or he's our healer, or he's our sacrificial lamb. What does that mean? It means that the war is over. It really means the war is over. Our sense of life can be secure in him. Our future is secure. Our struggle is over. Our payment has been paid for. With this Prince of Peace, our healing is finalized. With our Prince of Peace, our territory is marked. Our foundation is firm. There's no uncertainty with Jesus. With the Prince of Peace, it's not like we are not knowing where we are going. So what is left? The war is over. there's nothing left but just experiencing him as our rock and experiencing the ocean of peace that he brings to our life. But Mark chapter 5, why can't I find peace? Why can't we feel it? Why do we feel sometimes like we're wrestling in bed? You can't sleep at night. Why is it that we can know Jesus is this and we can celebrate him every year? And the happy Christmas word is peace, but why am I feeling this unrest in my soul? And we're going to look at Mark chapter 5. There's a key here in a woman's life. Mark chapter 5. If you've read it before, it's about a lady who spent everything she had trying to get well. It's a lady who went through an incredible struggle, and we'll pick it up verse 24. Mark chapter 5, verse 24. So Jesus went with this huge crowd, and there was people all around him and a woman in the crowd who had suffered for 20 years with constant bleeding. She'd suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she spent everything she had to pay them, but she'd gotten no better. In fact, she'd actually got worse. She heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll get better. And immediately when she touched him, the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed from her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had left him. So he looked at the crowd and he said, who touched me? He kept on looking. Who touched me? Disciples said, what are you doing? You're crazy. There's people pressing around everywhere. He said, no, who touched me? And then verse 33, the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. Told him that she had reached out and touched him and that now she was healed. And he says this in front of everybody, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Why can't I find peace? Why can Jesus be there, but it's like I can't find peace? Well, in this woman's life, it's like she's going through a whole lot to try and get there. Have you noticed that there's some things that just don't sit well together? Some things that just can't be together. There's a whole lot of things that can be really good combinations together, like coffee and a donut is a great combination. Me and Ames, amazing combination. Really, really good together. There's a whole heap of things. Summer and ice cream, really good together. There's a whole heap of things that just can't be together. And I'm not talking about your family at Christmas lunch. There's some things that just can't be together. North and south, they can't be together. It's impossible for them to be together. There's a whole heap of things that just can't be together. And one of them is peace and striving. They just can't sit together. They can't sit together and get along. They just won't be together. And here this woman is striving. She's reaching out. She's done everything she can. And she reaches out for healing, touches Jesus. She gets healed, right? But notice what he says. First of all, he calls her daughter, which I think is amazing. He's bringing her close. He's bringing her into relationship. He's bringing her into a relationship that is so close and intimate that he calls her daughter, right? It's really the picture of what he does for all of us. That, yeah, we may feel like we've got something that we need to deal with, but Jesus looks past that. He's like, I'm calling you family, right? So Jesus, first of all, calls her daughter, but then he says, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. What does that mean? Is that just a nice, polite greeting of nice to meet you, grow in peace, or it's lovely to see you this morning, go in peace? Is it just a way of ending the conversation? You know how when people don't know how to end a conversation, you're like, go in peace, bless you. You know, is that what Jesus is doing? I don't think he is. If we actually look into the Hebrew of it, when he's saying go in peace, it's not just a farewell greeting or farewelling. It's actually a statement of where she's going. Because the word isn't go in, it's actually go into. Which if we put this in context, here's what's happening. He's saying, hey, your faith has already healed you. You're better now, but you don't have peace. See, we can know Jesus and we can have healing, but we actually don't have peace yet. And he said, hey, Your struggle got you to this point where you're now putting your faith in me. You've tried everything else, and now you're putting your trust in me. And I'm good enough, is really what Jesus is saying. I'm the thing you're looking for. See, we can have an unrest and we can be striving and get us to a place of, well, I'm going to try Jesus. But Jesus doesn't leave us in that place of unrest. He's like, you've got your healing. Now go into peace, which means this. My striving is here. I leave it and I go into peace. The reason why we can't find peace is we're caught in striving. The reason why we can't find that peace is we may know Jesus and we may know that he's the precious promised one that we celebrate at Christmas, but we're still caught in the striving, even though he's made us well, and he's made us well, and he's saying, no, I've got peace for you to go into. In other words, he's like, give up your striving and go into peace. Or step away from suffering into this realm of peace. And today, I think it's the same. Today, I think it's exactly the same. We could be in a realm of fear, or we could replace the striving with anxiety or like stressing or worrying. We were up at Handoff the other day, and they gave out these little presents as you walk along the trail. And our kids got these little dolls. Sean comes out, he's like super disappointed. They gave me a doll. and they were saying, oh no, it's a worry doll. So you could tell this little doll your worry and you put it under your pillow and you go to sleep at night and it takes your worry away. And our kids were like, what do we need this for? We got Jesus. This stupid little doll, I can only give it one worry and Jesus takes all of our cares, all of our concern. You know what I'm saying? And we could look at life and be like, oh, I'm just going to give this one worry over and I'll sleep on it and hopefully I'll feel better in the morning, when the whole time Jesus is like, hey, go into peace. It's there waiting for you, right? But here's how. Paul talked about this word shalom, and it's a Hebrew word that they would describe peace with. It's more than just feeling good. It's more than just settled. It is completeness. But it also means this. They would use it when they were talking about blessing. You know, when you read through scripture and it talks about, oh, God will bless you. And automatically we think dollars, right? We're like, oh, he's going to bless me with gifts and dollars and friendship and all this sort of stuff. The word they would use is shalom. And that his shalom would be upon you. And this is what shalom, some of what it means. It means welfare. It means health. So they're speaking health. They're speaking welfare. They're speaking prosperity. It means this. A state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. That is the blessing that is waiting. That is our assurance in Christ. But how? If that's what it is, how? Because we know what it's like to wrestle and feel unrest. And we know what it's like, but how? It's really quite simple. It's if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, we've just got to get Jesus. And really, the more we know him, that woman knew that if she could just get to him, there's going to be something for her. And Jesus calls her daughter, which means we're now connected in family, right? Which means you're no longer a stranger. You belong with me. Go into peace. How? In relationship with Christ. If we're feeling that unrest, what do we need? We need relationship with Christ. If we're feeling like, yeah, I know about him, but I still have this worry that I'm carrying and this stupid little doll isn't taking all of my worries, you know, it's actually the relationship with Jesus that we need more and more and more. It's not a once off. It's not a moment. If we were to talk about it this way, it's kind of like imagine he's a peace bush. I'm not talking about the one you used to smoke, but imagine he's a peace bush. And if you're around him, you feel better, right? But the Bible actually talks about, imagine if he's a peace bush that you could be a branch in. And the very peace that he is can flow into your life. John 15, he is the vine. We are the branch. If we will stay connected with him, what are we really saying? Peace is come. Peace is here, it's for us, and if we want it, let's be connected with him. 2 Peter 1 verse 2 says this, May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge and God of God and Jesus our Lord. Me and Ames have a pretty good relationship, but it wasn't always this good. It started in a place. And the more we hung out with each other, the more we fell in love. To know me is to love me or hate me. You choose. But for us, it works really good. The more we're together, the greater our love gets. It's exactly the same with Jesus. If you're feeling like, man, I don't have peace, it actually comes with being connected with him. And this says, may God give you more and more grace and peace. Is there more to have? No, he's given it all. But it's actually as we grow in relationship with him, we experience it. It flows into our life. Here's where we end up with. We know peace is for now. We know peace doesn't play well with stress. It's either one or the other. We know that Jesus is our Prince of Peace. Maybe the band could come, and I just want to finish with this story. I read this article about an archaeologist, and it's like he was working by himself, and it's like dusk was just about to hit, and he stumbled across this well that wasn't like a normal well. It had kind of been covered up with all these other rocks. So I'm not going to pretend to be an archaeologist, but what is written in the article is that he thought it looked different to all the other wells, so it must be something valuable about it. So he scraped off all the big rocks that made it look different, and he uncovered it, and he threw a rock down into it, and he heard this distant ping or cling that sounded metallic. It didn't sound just like a thud, but it sounded like it hit something like metallic. So for any archaeologist, he thought, I've got to find out what that is. Maybe I've stumbled across this hidden treasure. So he grabs his rope, ties it off, and lowers himself down into this well, working by himself. Dusk has hit. He's got limited visibility. He's lowering himself down to find this treasure that he thinks is at this well. Problem is, he comes to the end of his rope, and he hasn't hit the bottom of the well. I don't know if you've ever tried climbing a rope. It's really hard. And he said he got to the point of where he was hanging like this and he's trying to touch the ground with his feet, but he just can't touch it. So in other words, he's climbed down looking for this thing. Now he's dangling and he still hasn't got it. And he realizes he's not going to reach the bottom. So he tries to pull himself back up. I don't know if you've tried to pull yourself up a rope. It's hard. And he realizes he spent all his energy getting down this rope and he still hasn't got enough to reach it. So he starts calling out for help. It says that his hands were like now like being ripped up because of the rope, and he's calling out for help, calling out for help, calling out for help. No one's coming. And he's kind of comes to a point of, well, I'm going to die here, because he doesn't know how deep this well goes. Kind of comes to a place of, well, that's it. I'm over. Let's go the rope. And hits the ground. He was only like 2 feet away. But all of his striving didn't actually get him to what he was after. It actually came in the letting go. Why am I telling you this? Because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, doesn't play well with stress. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, doesn't sit at a dinner table with fear. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, doesn't hang out with worry dolls, because he can't be, it's like north and south, they just don't go together. And what am I saying? It's kind of like all our striving, all our struggle, just like this woman. Everything she tried to do didn't equal it, but it was actually in the letting go of our striving and reaching for Jesus, the Prince of Peace. What am I talking about? Peace is an opportunity for him to bring you into relationship. How about we let go of our striving and we take hold of the Prince of Peace? How about we let go of our worry dolls, our little things that we try and help get to help us through? And I know that this is a big deal in our world at the minute. But I also know that Jesus is a bigger deal than our world at the minute. He's everything we need. And this Christmas time, our happy Christmas word isn't just a fancy word, peace. He's a person. And he's all you need. He's our assurance. He's our healing. He's our redemption. He's our restoration. He's our comfort. He's our comforter. And he's here in this place this morning. How about we stand? Last thought. The guy on the end of the rope, he gave up. And he found his feet on solid ground. In our life, how about we let go of that rope and give up and find ourselves taking hold of Jesus? The base of our life, the solid rock on which we stand, the peace in every situation, in every storm. He's there. God in this place, at this point in Christmas. School's done for the year. Shops are busy for the year. The family stuff's happening. Work's finishing. God, whoever we are and wherever we find ourselves in this room, Holy Spirit, we're grateful that you're close to point us to you, Jesus, our peace. God, let us let go of those things and take hold of all that you are. Because we're not waiting for you. You've already arrived. God, thank you that peace is found in you. And today, as we let go, that we can take hold of you, the very thing we're after the whole time. God, help us to surrender and recognize that in the letting go, we actually win. In the giving up, we actually are victorious. In the end of our striving is actually everything we were hoping to obtain. It's in you, Jesus. We love you. This moment is a moment of worship. We're going to sing. Really, it's a moment of surrender. Really, it could be a moment of giving up. For you, it could be a moment of continuing the relationship. You may be uncomfortable with the idea of Jesus calling this person daughter who he never knew, but he actually knows you really well and he's calling you deeper and deeper and deeper into relationship. Why? Because there's a greater sense of grace and peace that's waiting for us today as we know him. How about we love him, we worship him, experience the peace that only he can bring.